Are you glad you're here today? I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming out to Christ Church. It's been an awesome day, and there's some great things that have taken place here at Christ Church. We hope you'll find yourself to be a part of some of those things. A few weeks ago, we started a message series on how to grow your faith, and that ultimately it's not just up to you, but God ultimately would like for you to have faith that is growing. And really, you could kind of term it another way, and that is that that your faith is really about your trust in God. Imagine if you could live life in such a way that you had absolute trust in God. Imagine if you could live life in such a way that you could trust God that regardless of what was taking place in your life, the good or the bad or the ugly, that you could trust God that He was working on your behalf. Not only that He was God, but that He was for you. And that in every circumstance, He's working for you. That He would like for you to trust Him that in everything that He's working out for your good. Many times, and we talked about this, that there are many people that we've met that are just like that. Man, they're astounding when it comes to their trust in God, regardless of what takes place in their life. It seems like they're unshakable or unmovable. Well, God wants each of us to have that kind of faith, kind of a bulletproof faith. And so God's trying to work that in each and every one of us. And so the first week of this series, we started to talk to you about praying extraordinary prayers, asking God to like take you into places that is going to stretch your faith and cause your faith to grow, and that it would cause you to maybe make some steps and take some steps that ultimately, if God didn't show up, that you'd just simply fail. And let me just tell you, I'm absolutely convinced that there are some people that are praying for God to do some extraordinary things in their life and in this world and in our church. Somebody praying with me about that, because I'm praying about that. And here's what we do understand, that God wants our faith to grow and believe Him for great and awesome things. Because see, originally our relationship with God was broken because of a lack of trust. Adam and Eve, it wasn't a matter of disobedience towards God. It was really a matter that they just simply didn't trust God's plan. That they thought that their plan was actually better than God's plan for their life. That somehow if they could supersede God's plan, that things would work out better for them than under God's plan. We know that really didn't work out that way, but it was a lack of trust that caused the relationship with God to be broken. And God's been pursuing mankind for thousands of years now for us to come back into a place where our relationship, our trust in Him is restored throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. It's all about God pursuing us so that we would come into relationship with Him in a place of trust, because really, if the door to our relationship with God is broken through trust, then the door to relationship with God could be opened with trust, with faith. And every relationship, if you would, every great relationship is based on trust. So God wants us to grow our trust in Him, and He puts us in circumstances that causes our trust to grow. Last week, we talked about two different ways that God's working to grow your faith. And the first one was through practical teaching and applying practical teaching. That we're not just here to give theological dissertations about some philosophy or some theory or some theological position. We're actually here to help you apply the Word of God, that when you take it home and apply it to your life, it makes a difference in your world and your faith grows in that. The other thing that we talked about was we talked about providential relationships, and that God moves us into circumstances and move people into our life, that they end up being providential relationships, that they're the kind of the people that they cause us to move forward in God. They challenge us. They mentor us. They cause our faith to grow, those providential relationships. And we challenged you last week that like we can't make a providential relationship take place. Like we can't force that to happen. But what we can do is help to create an environment where it might happen. And so for us here at Christ Church of Orlando, one of the things that we do is we challenge every person to get in a connection group. A connection group is a group that meets in home and social environments throughout Orlando where you can meet with people just like you and connect with God and maybe grow your faith. Now, we can't guarantee it's going to happen there, but I can tell you the likelihood is good that you're going to connect with somebody and they're going to challenge you and help grow your faith. Providential relationships. Today, I'm going to take a turn and I'm going to finish out this message series. I have 25 minutes to finish out a message series that probably should take me 3 weeks to do. But like we believe God can do miracles, so we're going to ask Him to help me do one right here. Here we go. The next thing I want to talk to you about is one of the ways that God works to grow your faith is through pivotal circumstances. through pivotal circumstances. It's circumstances that all of a sudden it's something shows up in your life, and it could be good, but most of the time, if we're really honest with each other, our faith gets really challenged and our faith stretches and grows many times in the negative circumstances, where we have to pray and trust God and say, Lord, if you don't show up in this, it's just not going to work. If you don't show up, I don't know exactly how my life is going to turn out. And so I'm going to have to trust you in those pivotal circumstances. And almost every person that I know in somewhere in their life, what they do, they're able to say is that in their life, their faith grew the most when they were in trouble. They grew closer to God when they were having some kind of a difficulty in their life because it made them focus on God, and those pivotal circumstances caused their faith to grow. So you have a choice that in a negative circumstance, you can turn and run and go in the opposite direction, or you can use it as a catalyst for your faith to grow. There's a scripture in the book of James, and I'd just like for you to write this in with me if you would. Just read along with me, book of James, first chapter. Brothers and sisters, count it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith, are you ready? The testing, trouble, testing your faith, produces something. There's something that comes from the testing of your faith. It produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. In difficult circumstances, you're being tested. In trials create perseverance. Perseverance creates faith. And so as you continue just to move on down through a difficult circumstance, allow a circumstance to grow your faith. Because God has something that he would like for every person in this room to know about greater circumstances. There's a story in the Bible, and we have it in the bulletin for you. There's a story in the Bible of a family who they're following God and serving Christ, and they're worshiping him. But their brother Lazarus gets sick. And then Lazarus dies. And Jesus, instead of going directly to the sick man, Lazarus, he takes a 3-day journey in the opposite direction. And then he finally shows up and he tells his disciples in the process of all of that, I'm doing this. I'm leaving them. Are you ready? In that dire circumstance so they can grow their faith. Like God's going to produce something in that negative thing. I'm going to allow them to see my glory in their lives in something negative. And sure enough, he shows up and he has a conversation with the family. And they were like, if you would have only been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus said, yes, I'm the resurrection. And his sister says, we understand that you're the resurrection and Lazarus will rise again. And Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection. See, they wanted Jesus to believe, they believed in Jesus for healing, but he wanted them to grow their faith beyond just healing, that he was the resurrection. So in your circumstance, you might be seeing God as something small and someplace small where he can work in your life. In your difficulty, he wants you to grow your faith to see the bigger thing that God's wanting to do. So your trials are working perseverance, and perseverance will bring you into maturity. The next thing I want to talk to you about, and I love this, it's not a word people like to talk about very much. The word I'm going to talk about next is God wants you to grow in discipleship. He wants you to have disciplines in your life. They're personal and private disciplines. And that's the next point I want to talk to you about. Nothing in our life of great consequence comes unless we have a discipline about it. Very few people just walk up onto the stage and start to play the piano like Sean, and he can play like crazy. Very few people walk up on the stage, but he had to go through lessons. He had to be disciplined. He had to go every week. He had to practice every day. He had to go to college. He had to be disciplined to do that. There's something that gets produced when we discipline ourselves. Because what happens in our life is if we'll discipline ourselves here, it produces something down the road. Discipline today, making ourselves do something maybe we don't want to do, it'll produce something for us down the road. Even people, do we have any runners in the room? Anybody runners in the room? Yeah, God bless you, you know? Here's the deal about it is nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, I love to run. Yay. And the first time they did it, like nobody was like, Woo, I'm looking forward to running today. Nobody's doing that. But you know what they do is they understand that there's a goal. There's something to be achieved from it. And so maybe it's they just want to be healthier. Maybe a friend challenged them to get into a 5K. And so they decide they're going to get into this 5K, but there's a goal, there's an achievement. So they discipline themselves. And they decide that they're going to do it every day on a regular basis. They prepare themselves the night before. In fact, here's one of the things that I've learned about a discipline is something that you have to anticipate. You have to premeditate. You have to anticipate it in advance. Nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, listen, I just bought a new pair of high heels. I'm going jogging, you know? Like you go buy shoes, you buy the outfit. You get somebody to go with you, put an app on your telephone. You have to anticipate it. You have to premeditate that you're going to be disciplined about something. Let me go down the food road. Like most people, like if you don't think about it in advance, if you don't discipline yourself, if you don't have a plan in advance, you'll eat fast food. But if you discipline yourself, you'll find yourself eating healthy food. Plan your food in advance. And so on some level, what you do in discipline is you discipline yourself now so that you can achieve something greater later. One of the things I love about financial peace, and I don't know if Stephanie said it in this service or the previous service, one of the things that Dave Ramsey says in financial peace is, we're going to teach you how to say no now so you can say yes later. Say no to the credit card now so you can say yes to retirement later. Say no now to all the things that would attract you so that you can be out of debt later. You'll say no now so you can live like nobody else does later. So that's what discipline does. And we don't really like to talk about it, but discipline is something you don't necessarily set up for the long goal. It's something you initiate and you plan on doing it. Here's what discipline does. It results in progress in our lives. Like very, very few people really get progress in their life without discipline. Discipline also results in freedom, financial freedom, health, relational freedom. Discipline results in feeling good. Like there is a rush that comes from when you do something right and you go like, man, I won that. Like I beat that thing. I'm in the right zone. And here's something else. Discipline is beneficial. Regardless of what your attitude, you might not even like doing it, but it's beneficial. So I'm going to challenge you to some private disciplines. And here's the private disciplines I want to talk about. Because in order for your faith to grow, there are some private disciplines that you need to have. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And Jesus kind of talks about it. And I want to talk about first disciplines. Because I think what you do first is important. Like the stuff you do first thing in the morning, and the stuff you do first in a marriage, and the stuff that you do first in a career. And those first things are really kind of important. And so Jesus, he begins to address some areas of life to maybe be disciplined and then how to address the first. Are you ready? In Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus is talking, and here's what he says in the first verse. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness. Do you know what acts of righteousness are? They're actually disciplines. It's things, acts that you're going to do that are going to draw you close to God. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen of them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And so he starts to address the first discipline I want to talk to you about. This first discipline is giving. That you first discipline your giving, like your finances. That you consider what you're going to do with your, premeditate what you're going to do with your finances. Premeditate what you're going to do in a financial plan. Premeditate your giving. In the Bible, there's three different kinds of giving. There's tithing, there's offerings, and then there's alms. And alms go to the poor folks. And so here he's actually talking about even in your alms, have a plan. So read along with me. So when you give to the needy, somebody say, when you give, say it out loud with me again. When you give, when, not if you give, when you give, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in synagogues and on the streets to be honored of men. I tell you, they have their reward in full. But somebody say it with me again. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Somebody say it. Openly. That if you premeditate, if you plan on giving, and you do it privately and involve God in your finances, then what you do privately, he will reward you. And let me just tell you, If God's going to reward you, it's going to be good. Like, God rewarded me. Oh, Lord, that was awful. No, seriously, like, the reward from God is a good thing. So when you have a financial plan to give and you premeditate it and you practice it, then God's going to reward you. Somebody said to me one time, they said, like, I'll just give when I see a need. If there's a need around the church, Pastor, you just call me. But I'm not going to give regularly until you call me. And I told him, I'm like, I'm never going to call you. You're never going to give in this church. And they said, why? And I said, first of all, I'm not going to call you. You should have a financial plan to give. And second of all, there's always a need. You know? So don't just wait till you see a need, because there's always a need. Plan to be ready to give. Here's the second first I want to talk to you about. The second first I want to talk to you about is praying first thing in the morning. So giving first, when your finances first come in, like earmark what you're going to give for God. And the second thing is prayer. Here's what he says in Matthew, the 6th chapter in the 5th verse. And when you pray, you know, these are the words of Jesus. And when you pray, somebody say it with me. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen of men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, say it with me again, thank you. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Get a plan. I'm just going to challenge you. Like, pray first thing in the morning. And you don't have to, like, make it big. Just take a couple of minutes. Draw away with God. Pray. Get some scripture. Read a scripture and then say, okay, Lord, how do you want to apply the scripture to my life today? And Lord, I just want to spend the first few moments of this day. And I can tell you, it will change the course of your day. If you spend a few minutes with God, first thing in the morning, premeditate it. I'm going to get my coffee. I'm going to go sit on the veranda. I'm going to get my coffee. I'm going to go sit in the corner. I'm not going to turn CNN on. I'm not going to turn Fox on. I'm not going to turn anything on. I'm not going to do anything until I just spend a couple minutes with God. And then what you do, seriously, here's what he says. What you do privately, he will reward you for doing your private disciplines openly. And here's the thing I figured out is no one has to tell us to pray when we're in trouble. Like, seriously, like, as soon as there's trouble, woo, Jesus, we need your help, you know. But it's when life is kind of coasting along and things are not, like, just everything's just everyday and routine. Premeditate at those moments that you're going to have a plan to pray every day. Find that place out and carve it out with God. And let me just tell you why it's so important, because our prayer is an act of dependence. It's a statement that we're dependent on God. So I'm going to challenge you, pre-decide every month what you're going to give, pre-decide every month, every day that you're going to spend some time with him. And here's my last point. We're going to close out here in just a second. The last thing I'd like to challenge you, that God, he's trying to grow your faith. He's doing it through pivotal circumstances. He's doing it through personal disciplines. And he also wants to do it through personal ministry. He wants you to be involved in personal ministry. The Bible tells us that before we were born, he created acts of righteousness, works for us to do, prepared works in advance for us to do before we were born. Like, there's a plan, there's a purpose, there's a calling to your life. There's something that God wants to do in you and something that God wants to do through you. And each of us, we have a tug of war down inside of us of our agenda versus God's agenda. The stuff that we want to do versus the stuff that we know God's calling us to do. And there are a lot of times when it's very difficult for us to set our stuff aside. But let me just tell you, the reward comes when we set our stuff aside. And even in moments when it's difficult for us to do it, for us to pursue what God wants us to do. I want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 14th chapter. And I'm going to close if Sean will come back here. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Jesus, in Matthew, the 14th chapter, he had something that took place in his life. Here's what it says in the 13th verse. When Jesus heard what had happened, let me tell you a little bit about what had happened. Jesus had a cousin by the name of John the Baptist, or we know at least somehow they were closely related. And John the Baptist was his predecessor. And John the Baptist, He's a preacher. He's kind of one of those preachers that makes people mad. And he happened to make Herod mad. Herod was the ruler in their region at that time, and Herod was having an affair with his sister. And John the Baptist starts to preach about this affair, and he starts to call him out on it. And Herod gets angry, and then his sister gets angry, and he says to his sister, "What do you want me to do with him?" And she says, "I want his head on a platter." Well, John the Baptist and Jesus are close, and Jesus hears that John the Baptist has been arrested and beheaded. And so here's what it says. When Jesus heard what had happened. So Jesus has some stuff going on in his life. He has some family issues that are going on. He has some friendships that are complicated right now. And he said, here's what it says. When he heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Do you get that? Like, man, you gotta have that place where you can get alone. But in the middle of him drawing alone, like ministry happens, something takes place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Like, I'm hurting, but I know you're hurting too. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. There's no Publix. We can't order from shipped. There's no 7-Eleven. Can't send everybody out for food. This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus says, he responds and he says, what is there? What do we have? Is there anything available? And many times in our lives, we feel like what we have is inadequate. We're afraid to take a step. We feel like what little bit we have may not be enough. And what if it fails? And so it just keeps us from ever stepping out to do what God wants us to do. And so here Jesus says, "What do you have?" And they replied, Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. Bring them something to eat. We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And you know the story." And he said, "Bring me what you have. What little bit you have, bring it." And he directed the people to sit on the grass, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up into the heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he said to his disciples, he gave it to them and said, "You feed them. You do it. You give this feed to them. You take what I've given you. It's not enough, but if God's in it, he'll make it enough. Your talent, your gifting, you might even be walking in insecurity. You might be walking in some fear. But let me just tell you, I'm afraid to start a group. I'm afraid to go to a group. I'm afraid to go on a missions trip. We have some folks that are leaving this week to go to Honduras on a missions trip. And like nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, "Hey, I'm going to another country, live in poverty for a week and work hard." Like, but he's like, take a step of faith and do it. And if you'll do it, like, I'll show up in your inadequacy and I'll do something that you cannot do on your own. That's what we know. That God will show up and he'll do what, if you'll do what you can do, God will do what he can do. If you'll do what you can do, God will do what only he can do. And here's what it says in verse 20. They all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were dissatisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and leftover. And the number of those that ate was 5,000 men besides women and children. Today, I'm going to challenge you. What does God want you to do in your life? What is he calling? What place of ministry? Whether maybe it's in children's ministry. Maybe it's with youth. Maybe it's working with somebody that's homeless or a marriage that's in trouble. Maybe it's being a part of a connection group. Where is it that God right now, even in this moment, is elbowing you and like it's confirming that God's been saying to you, "Hey, I have something for you to do. Step up." Because here's the deal. You might not be enough, and it might stretch you from where you are. You might not even have enough time, but if you'll step up and say, "Okay, God, I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to do what you ask me to do." And when you do that, listen, God will show up on your part, and he'll give you everything you need to accomplish what he wants to do in you and through you. I'm going to tell a story, and in your bulletin, you're going to find there's an insert there, and it says Dream Team. Let me tell you about the dream team here at Christ Church of Orlando. Our dream team here at Christ Church of Orlando is, it's the people that work here. They volunteer here. And they're very active in everything that takes place. In fact, everything that happens here happens because of our dream team. And there's a lot of different places for people to volunteer and serve. And I'm going to ask everybody to look at this in a few moments and maybe pray about filling this out and turning it in today to find a place to serve. Let me tell you why we call it Dream Team, though. A few years ago, I was working in a church. There were some people maybe were involved in other churches, and some had become disenfranchised, but they felt like God wanted something to take place here in Orlando. And one day we met in a conference room in a Winn-Dixie warehouse over in Pine Hills. And there were 34 of us that dreamed that maybe God could do something awesome. We dreamed that maybe one day people who didn't know God, people who were atheists, would come to find God. We dreamed that there would be marriages that would be broken and people would come and their hearts would be healed and their marriages reunited. We dreamed that quite possibly children who were rebellious and ran away would find a place and find hope and find a future for themselves. We dreamed that people that already had great giftings and great talents would be able to take those giftings and talents and work with other people and see something exponential take place in their life. We dreamed that one day on a Sunday morning in January of 2018, people would sit in a room and their hearts would be challenged to find the ministry that God has for them. And those 34 people picked up a paper kind of like this, and they said, okay, we'll be the ushers and we'll be the greeters. And every one of those 34 found a place in children's ministry and youth ministry and on the praise and worship team and on the prayer team. And they believed God that this would take place. And I'm wondering if there's anyone in this room today that will dream with Christ Church of Orlando. I'm wondering if there's anyone in this room today that you'll dream with us, that maybe in another year or in 5 years or in another 20 years, people will sit in this room or a room 10 times this large. And in the meantime, thousands of lives will be changed and people will find their purpose and find their homes will be healed. Lives will turn around and you will be a part of the dream and the vision for their life because you found personal ministry. So I'm going to ask you to take this form out if you would. I'm going to ask you to look at it. I'm just going to ask you to pray over it for just the next moment or so. And first impressions, that's easy. You know what that is. It's the wonderful folks out. Can I hear a woo-hoo for our first impressions team? Yeah. Connection group leaders, man, we need some folks that buy into people. Prayer teams. We have folks that are going to gather and pray during the services, and they want to pray at the end of the services, and they already do that, but a prayer chain, if you'd like to be a part of that. 2020 guest follow-up, and simply that is helping us to find the folks that want to plug in here at Christ Church of Orlando, and us following up with them and say, hey, there's a place for you to belong here. Security, yeah, isn't it crazy that we have to talk about security in this day, but we kind of have to. Not everybody's sane like you and me. And so, congregational care, that's helping to take care of people who are sick in the hospitals and visiting them and taking food to them. Music, obvious. Tech crew. How about a woo-hoo for the tech crew back there? They work hard. Media. Children's ministry department, man, there's so many opportunities to work with kids. Did you know that we have a new team of people that are going into the public schools every week now, and they're doing after-school clubs in public schools, and the school's allowing us to do that, and it's the beach club, and they get to learn scripture. Pretty awesome. College age, our catalyst group. Woohoo for college. Yeah. Our adult ministries operations. Will you pray for the next few moments? And I want to pray with you. This is the practical application side of this. Let's not just talk about the kingdom of heaven, but how about if we engage in it and apply ourselves? Dear Lord, I thank you, God, for every person that's here, and I thank you for your spirit today. Now I ask you, dear Lord, that you'll move on our hearts and cause people to step up and say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to see what personal ministry looks like in my life. Lord, help us find our place in you as we pursue your work. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing in just a few moments. Go ahead and fill that out. And if you want to go ahead and fill it out and... you can turn it in. Pastor Jeff, will you make sure that we have somebody at the back doors that can collect those on your way out? Don't take a moment to hand them in. Then let me also talk to you here and say, I'm going to go a few minutes over, so I apologize. I'll preach shorter another Sunday. We have a group of 11 people that are going on a trip to Honduras. They're leaving this week. And so if you're on the trip to Honduras, will you just stand? Go ahead and stand wherever you are if you're in the room here. In fact, how about if you come down front? Will you come down front? Jeremiah is kind of heading this trip up for us. And so, Jeremiah, just tell us what you're going to do when you go.
We're going to go make an impact for God's kingdom, first and foremost. We're going to go build a bridge in a week for a village in the remote area of western Honduras in the mountains, so that during the rainy season they can have access to schools and markets and medical care and things like that. While we're there building the bridge, we're also going to have a team that's going to go and do VBS-style teaching to children in some of the local schools and feeding centers. So,
excellent. Hey, and last year was your first time you ever went on a missions trip, correct? And Jeremiah's been around ministry in his life. His mom and dad are in the ministry, but never had gone on a missions trip before. And man, when he came back, I can say, like, I saw your faith had grown. Like, you really believed God, and like, he was planting ministry down inside of you, and now you're leading the team to go. And that's what that looks like. And so, yeah, give him a big hand and give it over to him. Will you pray with me for these next few moments? And dear Heavenly Father, we pray over this team. We ask you that you would prepare the road before them, that angels and safety would go before them, no harm would come to them. And dear Lord, that there would be providential moments, that there would be just those divine places where you're going to create conversations. And dear Lord, they're going to be able to see you show up. Lord, grow their faith, increase their faith. And dear Lord, for the people that they're going to minister to, let this be revolutionary. Let, Lord, raise up boys and girls and men and women. Let them have life changes. And I ask you, dear Lord, that you'll grow their faith and the faith of every person in this room, that in the days ahead, we'll find our place to minister for your name and advance your kingdom. We pray your blessings over them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give these guys a big hand. Amen. We sing a song here. We're going to close. In these next few months, I know we're over. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. And this song talks about, regardless of the circumstance, draw us closer to you, Lord. Draw us closer. Would you sing it and pray this prayer with us? Draw closer.